going to speak about, as the Mesilas Yesharim, we've talked about this trait of Nikios. And Nikios means not just avoiding chait, but trying to condition yourself to against the taivos and against the desires. And he spoke about actions that are very seductive and that cloud your judgment. Theft, profit, greed, taking money that isn't yours, not just stealing from someone's pocket, but even taking slight profits and slight greed. And we spoke yesterday about sheker, about certain social tendencies, especially when you're with a lot of people. It talks about Lashon Hara. I'm not going to go through everyone. This is really one of the biggest pieces of the Sefer. But today, let's talk about, as he segues from actions that you have to try to disable the traits that lead to those actions, like theft and gilui arayos, and socially induced averos, such as sheker, to just internal midos. Just internal midos that are not socially induced, they're not actions. But Hashem created natural tendencies, national tendencies. Maybe give Yishai a seat, he's a visitor. Natural tendencies that have to be battled against. So the two tendencies that we're going to talk about today are, number one, honor and ego. The desire that Hashem created within human beings to have an ego, to receive honor, to receive admiration, public admiration. And the second one, if we have time, we'll talk about anger. So the Mesilas Yesharim, this is a section called Nikios. You don't just avoid chatayim, but you try to condition your internal world towards the proper traits. So one of the interesting manifestations of ego and honor is that, unlike other traits in which the violations are just different by degree, namely, you lie all the time, you exaggerate, you slightly fib. Essentially, it's all the same phenomena, lying, falsifying, fabricating, not saying the truth. Honor is an internal desire to get other people's interest, other people's admiration. But because you need something, here's the punchline, you need something from someone, you need their admiration. If I lived on an island and I have no ego, I could still, in theory, lie. If, let's say, someone dropped on the island and asked me a question, I could lie. So lying doesn't need a society. But if I don't live with anyone, I live by myself on the island, and you just drop in to give me supplies, I would never have an ego, because to have an ego and to need honor and pride, I need to take it from you. I need you to like me. I need you to admire me. I need something from you. I need your interest. I need your like, to put it into social media context. So to get that, there are many different ways that I'll try to get it from you. So egotism has multiple manifestations, unlike lying, unlike anger, which we'll talk about later. It comes from the same root, the desire to be approved, the desire to be liked by other people. Remember, self-esteem is feeling good about yourself without needing anyone to ratify. Just knowing internally you feel good about yourself, like if you were just on a desert island and no one knew about your identity and your accomplishments, but you feel good about yourself based on who you are, your relationship with Hashem. So the second you introduce ego, I need something from you. And there are many different ways that I'll try to get that. So he lists four different mechanisms by which the egotist, or someone that's chasing honor, will try to get it from the person or the society within which they live. One way is he could just behave externally in ways that show egotism. You walk in a certain way, you express it in a certain way, you walk haughtily, you can tell by people's gait, G-A-I-T, you can tell by the way they speak, all right? Your dad's in the corporate world. So the corporate world has its own language. And sometimes I feel very, very violated when people bring their corporate language to personal interactions. Like, would you like to come to my house for dinner? Well, I'll have my seconds call your second and see if we can arrange a meeting. And we'll see whether it sounds like a contract. So in the corporate world, you have to have a special language for contracts. But don't become someone who speaks in that vernacular. Speak to me. Talk to me. Speak my language. Don't talk above me. Don't talk through me. Sometimes people, rabbis sometimes have that. Have that occupational hazard. Learn the language of humanity, not the language of your profession. Some professions have to have specific languages that are more abstract, that are less direct, that are more contractual. But speak to people in ways that you're not trying to convey who you are. There should be nothing in your speech that conveys, look at me, this is who I am. Your speech should never be manipulating people for their honor. Your speech should be to people, straightforward, honest, humble, look people in the eye. It's very important. One of the manifestations is behavior, but in our day, it's probably speech. I don't think any of us walk around in our big turbans like they did 400 years ago on our chariots. But the external expression of egotism today is the way people speak. Another internal expression, he doesn't use this word, people sometimes are very imperial. Namely, they don't behave in a way that's egotistical, but they're always angry, and angry is not a good word. We'll talk about anger later. but there's a sense of hierarchy and pyramid structure. And I see myself and I view myself. So it's not that I behave that way, but I make demands of people and I don't treat people with respect. That's probably the best way to say it. It's not a question of how I behave, but I don't treat every human being with the respect they deserve. I use them, I take from them, I expect from them. It's not really anger. We'll talk about it later. It's an interesting word. Have you ever met someone who conducts themselves with imperialism, like they're better than and they deserve it and they're higher than? That's the second manifestation. I'm translating his 18th century words into 21st century modes. The third example he gives, which is fascinating, to me this is the most fascinating part, it's very pre-modern. Someone that's so haughty, they tell themselves, I don't need honor, I don't need title, I don't need pride. That itself is a form of haughtiness, and I'm beyond it. Pride is natural. Hashem created ego. Hashem created that need. And every need Hashem creates, He doesn't want you to shut down. He wants you to find a way to calibrate it and balance it and when to utilize it. Hashem doesn't give any human being a trait just to shut it down. No matter what trait you feel you have, there's a purpose for that trait. Hashem doesn't taunt you. He's not a riddler. He's not just throwing traits in your way for you to try to suppress them. He's giving you a toolbox, and each trait has its function, and has its moment, and you have to learn how to calibrate it. So if Hashem gave us an ego, He wants us to be concerned with what people think about us. He wants us to like when people approve of us, within reason, within balance. So a person is denying his own reality. I'm great. That itself, the irony is, saying or claiming to yourself that you don't need honor is itself a form of egotism, because I'm better than everyone else. I'm beyond that. No one's beyond it. No one doesn't have an ego. No one doesn't want honor. No one doesn't like. The question is, do you become an egotist? Do you become a megalomaniac? Someone who's addicted to honor. Someone who's addicted to titles. Someone who's addicted to likes. Okay, that's already non-calibration of Hashem's trait. So that's the third manifestation. The fourth manifestation is, you're too smart for your own good. Also a modern manifestation. Self-mediation. I know so much. No one can tell me anything. Have you ever met someone like that in your life? Don't raise your hand and tell me who. I'm just asking mental experiments. Who have you met in your life that is too smart for their own good? Too egotistical, too much of a know-it-all, and they block themselves from receiving healthy input. Are you a learner, or are you too confident to be a learner? Do you study people? That's why humility is a gateway to wisdom, right? You think they're not. Humility is a moral trait. Wisdom is an intellectual trait. Okay. Intelligence, that's intellect. Knowledge, that's intellect. But wisdom is acquiring, viewing, observing people, taking intake, thinking, knowing you don't know it all, seeing it from a different angle. Those are the four manifestations he talks about. There are other manifestations, but unlike lying, which you could put all the liars on a spectrum, those that are total liars, Donald Trump, right? Not a word that comes out of his mouth. Not saying he shouldn't vote for this, it's a political statement, but it's fascinating. There's not one single word that comes out of his mouth. The truth, okay, that's maybe where politics have descended into. Maybe he's a good politician. And the people who lie by degrees, people who fabricate, but it's all on the same spectrum. Whereas egotism and megalomania, it's not even the same spectrum. It's one root. But the root, because I need, when I lie, I'm not taking something from you. If anything, I'm withholding information from you. Egotism, that's what makes egotism so manipulative. In some ways, lying is a manipulative, since it's not giving you the truth. It's hurtful, it's damaging. I say, take this turn, it's a horrible turn. Or I say, you know, I can tell you, mistruth, misrepresentation. But there's a manipulation in ego, because for ego to survive, I have to feed off of you. I need your eyes, I need your attention. How I draw that attention is many different ways. That's why it's so important to build self-esteem internally, because if you don't have self-esteem, then two things happen to you in life. One is you become an abuser. Now, abuse is a very harsh word. Physical abuse, mental, verbal abuse, sexual abuse, no one's going to be an abuser. But abuse comes in many different terms. And I take something from you. I need you to give me, so I'm taking. A Rebbe should be a giver. A father should be a giver. The most noble trait in space you can be in life is if I give without any chesed shalemus. The ultimate giver, someone that buries a dead person, because it's absolutely no taking. It's completely unilateral. There's nothing expected. And that's one of the occupational hazards of being a Rebbe. You don't want to be, don't look for a Rebbe who needs you. Look for a Rebbe that doesn't need you, and your attention is just there completely to give every possible strand of Torah, Musa, or whatever they're trying to give you. And if you don't have self-esteem, you'll take self-esteem for people in very assertive ways. You'll need them to like you, and you'll manipulate them or exploit them into liking you. And the flip side of not having self-esteem, and sometimes they exist in the same person, is you know self-esteem. So you're not just an abuser, you're a victim, because people are victimized by abuse. They don't have the self-esteem to say, that's not the way I should be treated. Stop talking to me like that. I should have your own self-esteem. You can't stand your ground and say, that's not a respectful way to talk to me. So you're starting to build now authenticity and self-esteem. Try to be proud of yourself. Try to internalize that pride. I'm proud of the life I'm choosing. I'm proud of the person I'm becoming. Now, whatever your accomplishments, and then you'll be less prone to egotism. Okay, so we didn't get a chance to talk about anger. Tomorrow we'll talk about anger in Yitzhak Shem. Okay? Have a great day. Welcome, Yishai. Have a good day, everyone.